This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, midweek Wednesday afternoon, April 10th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. The Cubs want to put two big corporate logo signs on top of buildings across the street from Wrigley Field, and there's some pushback. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, consumer prices went up again last month, surpassing most analyst expectations, intensifying inflation concerns, and dimming prospects for Fed rate cuts. Joining us now with the details is David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver and author of the book Understanding Central Banking. David, thank you for joining us today. It seems like in the run-up to this particular report, which is not, by the way, the end-all be-all for the Fed, they're waiting for the PCE report later this month to make their decision, but it seemed like investors were learning to live with the idea of fewer interest rate cuts in 2024, and maybe now they have to really get comfortable with the idea of no interest rate cuts this year.
Perfectly said. The Fed Chairman Powell was already worried. Both January and February came in stronger than expected on inflation. And so he was waiting for March to be the convincing number. If January and February were flukes, then March would come in low. In fact, March came in high, and I think it really is shaking the Fed up. Fed Chairman Powell already was saying, let's wait and see in terms of when we start to cut rates. I think the Fed itself was betting on three rate cuts this year, but I'd start to pull that down to one or two, given how strong that inflation number in March was.
And on top of that, we are approaching an election, and after June, obviously, you know, the Fed will say they are data dependent, but they also don't want to get dinged for making what could be seen as a political decision to cut rates before the election. So should we be talking about maybe the first rate cut coming after November?
Exactly. You took the words exactly out of my mouth. We have a June meeting, which is not— there's no chance of a rate cut there. A lot of people have been betting on that. Then we have a July 31st meeting, and I don't think that's in play either. So that brings us to September 18th, but that is close to the election, the point you just made. And so that leaves the Fed with only two meetings in the rest of the year to consider rate cuts: November 7th, right after the November 5th election, and December 18th. So I'm betting that one or two is at most what we're going to get. And given how strong the economy is, and given that the unemployment rate is staying below 4%, suggesting a very solid labor market, I just don't think the Fed can, in the near term at least, think about cutting.
A lot of an argument can be made that a lot of the price relief that we experienced in the past 6 months or so was the result of a belief that the economy would slow down in 2024 and that it was better to get ahead of it. And it seems like now there's a little bit of recalibration, that the economy is stronger than people thought, and that economic downturn is not coming, at least not soon.
Exactly. Remember how many people were looking for recession as we began 2024, even back in starting in, at least in terms of forecasts, in 2023. And in fact, the economy has been stronger than expected, much more resilient, and that labor market just won't quit. So there's just no basis on which to start that rate cutting process. Usually the Fed only cuts rates when the economy is extremely weak, and we're a far cry from that.
David Jones, Chairman, DMJ Advisors in Denver, Colorado, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, the latest in a new rooftop battle involving the Cubs.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Cubs are taking an important step toward installing two giant logo signs atop buildings across the street from Wrigley Field. The move is adding to an ongoing feud with a neighbor. Joining us to discuss the situation is Danny Ecker, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Danny, thank you for joining us today. And it's quite a change of pace to talk about a stadium drama that doesn't involve the White Sox or the Bears.
Yeah, that's true. This is a throwback to the stadium drama we were dealing with 10 years ago when the Cubs were trying to renovate Wrigley Field and redevelop its surrounding area. And the rooftop owners were right in the heart of a battle around that, as you probably recall. You know, this was the latest move by the Cubs to find more revenue around the stadium was to put big LED signs on two buildings just beyond the bleachers along Waveland and Sheffield that would have one would be a Coca-Cola sign and one a Benjamin Moore sign. And the Cubs just went through the zoning committee yesterday to get approval for these signs. But there was also a bit of a spotlight that was put on this feud with one of the remaining rooftop building owners along Waveland that is battling the Cubs behind the scenes and would like to both keep operating its rooftop business and add a sign of their own.
No, oh, Danny, it's disappointing. I was hoping they were going to put up a giant Torco sign. Go back to some of the legendary signage from decades past. But what are some of the contours here? Obviously, the Ricketts family, they own the two buildings involved, and they do need the city council to give them the signage permit to erect those two signs. But it seems like over the past decade or so, the Ricketts family won that battle. They bought up the entire neighborhood. There's a number of businesses and hotels and rooftops that are all funneling revenue back into the team, and what kind of recourse do the independents, the last few independents, have in this situation?
Right. So, you know, the Ricketts have purchased many of those rooftop properties, and you know, being able to control the sale of those tickets to people who want to go up and have that experience. But there are three rooftop businesses that are left that are separate, technically separate from the Ricketts. One is Murphy's Bleachers beyond center field, and another one is owned by the owners of Sports Corner Bar. But the one that's in question here is owned by a guy named Aiden Dunnigan, who has owned this property since 1999. It's all the way right next to the landmark firehouse beyond left field foul pole. And this is, you may recall that, you know, a lot of these rooftop owners had 20-year agreements that they signed back in 2004 with the Cubs to say, okay, we're going to give you 17% of the revenue we make from selling tickets to people to watch games from our rooftops. Well, it's 20 years later and those deals have expired. So now it's a matter of, you know, can the Cubs find with the last remaining owners sign new deals to share revenue, to sell their product effectively. And they are not really coming to terms on that. The Cubs would apparently like to have a larger percentage of that revenue. The owner of this particular building is not interested, but this building also faces Clark Street. And if he can get a signage, a bit of a billboard or something like that, that the city could sign off on like they are for these new signs for the Cubs. Well, that could be a problem for the Cubs. Cause what if it's it's not going to be a Torco sign, but it could be, you know, a Miller beer sign, for example, when the Cubs have a big deal with Budweiser. So the Cubs have a big interest in making sure that, you know, they control the signage around Wrigley Field. But there's only so much they can control in terms of decisions that the alderman is going to make about signage around the community.
Danny Ecker, reporter, Crane Chicago Business, thank you for joining us today with the latest update on the battle with one of the few remaining independent rooftop owners around Wrigley Field. Up next, are you ready for some pro football on Friday night? south of the equator.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Major changes are coming to the television football landscape, both college and professional. Let's learn what's on the way this fall from Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verter Group in Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And when I worked at WTMJ in Milwaukee, we had this joke about the Packers rule. Of course, the radio station carried the Packers back then, and it was the Packers rule. That's the Packers rule. And I feel like you can scale that up now to the TV landscape. The football rule is that football rules, both college and professional.
Well, you know, in a world where, you know, television, linear television, right, is in secular decline, that is, more people are watching streaming or not watching linear television at all. You know, sports stands out. We've talked about that for a number of years. And live sports generates attention, as we saw with the women's NCAA basketball tournaments, or the men's too. And it's kind of the only real sort of standout, if you will, in the linear television landscape. And prime among it, or prime among them, the sports and the offerings, is the NFL and football generally, college football certainly as well. Football tends to be sort of an obsession for American sports fans, especially when it comes to television.
This upcoming season also means that football, both the NFL and the college game, will be invading another night. The NFL moving from Thursday to Friday, trying to colonize that with a streaming exclusive broadcast of the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil, to start the season, and then Fox introducing college football games on Friday night. Now, what's this going to mean for the Friday night lights crowd, the people who go to high school football on Friday nights?
It's certainly an issue, and it's certainly been roiling the football landscape for some time as this creep, if you will, of these windows. And some of these had been, you know, sort of gentlemen's agreements that these windows would not be touched, especially in the pro game. You know, Friday night is kind of sacrosanct. It certainly is in the South, Texas in particular. But even here in Illinois, right, Friday night is a high school football environment. Saturday, historically, reserved for college. And Sunday and Sunday night and Monday night, the pro game. But now, I mean, the NFL doesn't, you know, the NFL does what the NFL does, right? So, you know, this Friday game that's coming up is the second game of the season in September. The excuse is having a game in Brazil. So there's a novelty to that. But Fox, right, is essentially extending their very successful Saturday afternoon Big Ten and Big 12 football franchise into Friday nights. They're going to put Class A big name games now on Friday nights for college football. So, and Wednesday night is now going to be this year's Christmas doubleheader with the NFL too. A Wednesday has been also sacrosanct, regardless of it being a holiday. So the NFL is now colonizing Christmas too, irrespective of the day it's actually on. So I don't know where it stops, frankly, but I don't know. Too much football could be too much football at some point.
Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verter Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Personal Finance Wednesday, the role of TikTok in financial advice.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Nice. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The Cook County State's Attorney comments in the case of a man from Chicago shot and killed by police on the West Side. The latest measure of inflation shows that prices continue to rise. Personal Finance Wednesday, there are some money-saving and investing tips you can pick up on social media. Also on the financial front, exploring the advantages of dividend investing. WBBM Business. The markets are lower. The Dow down 467 points. NASDAQ down 147. S&P 500 down 52. 64 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies, going up to 70. Cooler by the lakefront. It's 1231. Topping our news at the half hour, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is among those reacting to video of last month's deadly shooting of 26-year-old Dexter Reed by police on Chicago's West Side.
I should note we are in the very beginning stages of our review process, examining the evidence compiled by COPPA thus far, including body-worn cameras and other video, medical, and forensic evidence.
Mayor Johnson calling the case disturbing while adding that the fact that an officer was wounded cannot be ignored. The cost of goods and services continues to climb.
Inflation rose again last month. Consumer prices outside the volatile food and energy categories were up 0.4% from February. The so-called core prices were up 3.8% measured from a year earlier. It's the third straight month inflation was well above the Federal Reserve's 2% target, and comes as central bankers are weighing when to cut interest rates this year and by how much.
The policy rate is likely at its peak for this tightening cycle.
Chair Jerome Powell said last week if the economy kept moving as expected, the Fed anticipated rate cuts. But he's also stressed the Fed needs more evidence. Inflation is steadily easing. Today's report could end the prospect of multiple rate cuts this year. Sagar Magani, Washington.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are lower. We welcome in Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager with MacroTides.com based in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And let's pick up that inflation and interest rate conversation. I guess if you were going to predict some type of miss outside of the economist consensus on where the March CPI figure would come in, it was a safe bet to assume that it would come in hotter than expected than colder.
Yes, Rob. That was really the gist of my April macro tides when I went into great detail. And if any listener would like to receive that, if they're interested, Jim Welsh Macro at Gmail. And the component, Rob, that I talked about was the March takeaway from 2023 was only 8 basis points. So if the CPI came in at 30 basis points at a minimum, it was going to the year-over-year number would go up by 0.2. It came in hotter than that, which is why it went from 3.2 to 3.5. So obviously for the Fed, this is not the kind of news they were hoping to get.
And then what are some of the contributing factors to the fact that inflation has really picked up to start the year? Is it all gas prices? Is it the services industry? Is it certain components of the CPI that's really driving all the increases? Or is it just a larger belief that the economic downturn is not coming and that the consumer is still going to be strong? So why not maintain that pricing power?
Yeah, well, I think you covered every single item in there, Rob, in your question, because it isn't just one factor. It isn't just energy. There is still pricing power that companies have, and they're exercising it. And it's service inflation that is being more persistent, and that is 80% of GDP is services. Goods are less than 15%. So it's kind of all of the above, which, again, is problematic from the Fed's point of view.
And then when we talk about Fed strategy, the one tool they have in their toolbox is controlling interest rates, raising them or lowering them. And I think we've talked about this before, that if you're the Fed, when when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So how can you use interest rates to control the fact that the cost of auto insurance is up almost 25% year over year, or the fact that the population is aging, therefore elder care is a lot more expensive than it used to be? It seems like a lot of these issues are outside of the purview of the Fed.
They are, as is oil prices. So you make a great point, Rob, in the sense that monetary policy is a blunt instrument. It can't be pinpointed to some of the specific cost increases that are occurring. From the Fed's point of view, they're looking at it over an extended period of time. The rate increases that they've enacted will slowly but surely cause the economy to slow. That'll diminish demand and ultimately take some of the pressure points that you mentioned to take some of that pressure out of them. So it is a blunt instrument, and that's why I continue to believe that as we get past mid-year, we're going to see the bite on the economy from the rate increases that the Fed enacted, starting in March of 2022.
And right now we're talking about 2% inflation, but just a quick look at the CPI figures on a year-over-year basis going back into the 90s, back when you saw a pickup from the recession of the early 1990s, strong economic growth. You had inflation CPI numbers in the high twos and low threes through a good portion of the decade, well into the late 1990s. Are we seeing a 90s-style economy right now?
In some respects, we are. The difference in terms of Fed policy is that even though inflation was a little bit higher in the mid-90s, it was way down from where it was in the late 70s and early 80s, Rob. What we're doing now is we're coming off of a trough that existed for about 10 years, and the Fed just wants to make sure we don't do a repeat of the 1970s. So, again, what it means for policy is the idea that they're going to cut rates three times this year was overly optimistic, and these numbers are kind of forcing markets to recognize and accept that.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager with MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, taking to TikTok to improve your money management.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. You may believe that social media sites such as TikTok wouldn't have a lot to offer in the way of real financial advice. However, there are some lessons to be learned. Let's learn more from Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago, the website engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And it's very easy to look at some of these algorithm-driven social media sites through a jaundiced eye, as I like to say. I used to say, if the sentence begins with a trend, it's a TikTok trend, that sentence does not end well. But it can surprise you, Ed, and it turns out there are some positive lessons to be learned, especially when it comes to money and saving on TikTok, and some people are taking to them.
Yeah, Rob, social media has a justified bad reputation. I mean, there are so many more occurrences and instances of conspicuous spending with the "you only live once" hashtag than sharing ways to be better savers and spenders. And to see this trend emerge where you've got folks who are really trying to guide those younger generations on not only concepts, but strategies that just sort of, again, that are trending and get these kids to really engage in their personal spending and finances to better their financial lives, you can't but help to want to embrace that trend.
And one example we talked about a couple of months ago on the show was this trend of loud budgeting, where people tout their efforts to save money and save money in their personal lives, and also to trim their expenses, and that leads to kind of a virtuous circle. But there's another one called the 100 envelope challenge, which is another way to set aside a predetermined dollar amount on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against building a habit of saving. And so when you look about that 100-day challenge, right, you're just basically putting in, for every day, you're putting in a dollar for the first day, $2 the next, and you sort of work your way up. And for some people, that might be a challenge in itself, right, from a cash flow perspective. But doing anything, Rob, that starts you down that path of being a better saver than a spender is absolutely terrific. And one other element about that loud budgeting, wouldn't it be great if we all have the ability to embrace being more frugal in spending than trying to show off to our friends just how much money we can spend. Again, it's a trend we would love to embrace more of.
And it also sounds like a high-tech application of age-old programming, because way back when, in the dark ages, the 80s, Ed, there were financial advice TV shows and radio shows. I mean, there was Bruce Williams, a guy I used to work with, Clark Howard out of Atlanta. But if you were listening to them, that means you were in the car with your parents. And now these tried and true pieces of advice are now reaching younger people where they are.
Yeah, let's go even further back, Rob, in the Wayback Machine, all the way to the Depression era, right? So my Depression era clients had this great concept of cash stuffing, right? They had envelopes for everything, rent, spending, vacations. And if your envelope had vacation on it, but it was empty, you were not taking a vacation. So fast forward to today, and again, one of these trends is cash stuffing, is creating that envelope ability, that envelope concept of putting monies away for certain specific things. Again, this isn't necessarily new information, but it resonates with the younger folks. And I think that's the key. We are not particular about what or where they hear it from, whether it's from grandma, grandpa, mom, or dad, or in the car on the radio. The fact that they're able to get this on these social media channels is terrific, because it's resonating and they're taking action.
Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, why dividend investing is on the rise.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Dividend investing had fallen out of favor over the past few years, but is now poised to make a comeback in a big way. Joining us to explain is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital in Chicago. Jack, thank you for joining us today. And I think for the if we're going to do dividend investing 101, we should set this up by saying that we talk about investing in a variety of contexts throughout the show, and primarily it is for retirement saving, and we're talking, or maybe saving for college or some other goal in life. But if you want to engage in dividend investing, what is it and what can it do for you?
Sure. Well, dividend investing is just another form of income investing, just like bonds. And it's interesting because, you know, for more than a decade after the financial crisis, the Federal Reserve held the bond market yields below the rate of inflation, and it created really just an unappetizing asset class, right? Owning bonds for income was just not that appealing. And so that really drove a lot of investors into the equity market to earn their income through the dividends. Now, that's changed as of 2020. Finally, at long last, the bond market yields are on par and equal to level footing with equities. And so that really pushed investors out of dividends and back into the bond market. And now it appears that investors are starting to look again at dividends.
And before we talk about how to do this specifically, the name of the game in investing in any asset class is to make sure you have growth over time that's ahead of the rate of inflation.
That's it. And one of the things that I take comfort in is if you look at dividend growth over long periods of time, and we went back to the early 1970s, so it include high inflation in the late 70s and early 80s, dividend growth has outpaced the rate of inflation over long periods of time.
And it seems like the stocks to get that type of dividend income, we're talking about some of the biggest, you know, tried and true names in corporate America.
That's it. I mean, there are a couple of ways to play dividends. One is, you know, try to grab for as much dividend yield as possible. The problem there is that, you know, they're generally not very strong companies. They may have unsustainable dividends, and their businesses aren't growing well enough to maintain that dividend. We prefer working with perhaps a slightly lower dividend yield, but the highest quality companies, so we know that they have the wherewithal to make those dividend payments, and they have a history of growing that dividend over time. So they have a commitment for dividend payments and dividend growth.
It sounds like almost like if we had a similar segment a couple of months ago about trying to find the best yield on a savings account just because interest rates are higher. You don't want to go chasing those high yields or the highest yield because sometimes it may not be the best place to put your money.
That's it. In fact, if you look online right now, the highest yield among all of the bank's CDs is New York Community Bank. I think that stock is down about 70% year to date.
Yes. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.